What do you think in, say, 10 years, these betterment centers will look like? What do you think they'll even be called?
Wow. Well, I hope Sparked.
That goes without saying, yeah. So the Sparked Betterment Center, right? Or you'll be like Google.
Yeah, exactly. In every country, everywhere. I think two things. One, every gym will have an area where there'll be some kind of cognitive training going on, some kind of cognitive training, some brain fitness training going on. There's been a massive focus on, you know, meditation and so on and so forth. I think it's only a matter of time where this is going to become way more mainstream than it is now. We are just really at the beginning of it, to be honest. On the other hand, so these will be kind of the more usual gyms, the big chains, the big box gyms, and that's going to be great. That's going to be very exciting. I think the other thing, like you just mentioned, we will have way more customized services. So people are going to want to know everything about their health. They're going to want to track everything. They're going to follow protocols about, you know, exactly the goals that they are trying to achieve and look at their health really from a way holistic point of view. I mean, longevity is already a big topic, and I think that's only going to get bigger. Hi, this is Anna Milani from Spark, the Brain and Fitness Hub, and welcome to the NeuroNoodle Podcast.
Welcome to NeuroNoodle's Neurofeedback and Neuropsychology Podcast, featuring neuropsychologist Dr. Laura Janssens, Tech Wiz neurofeedback legend Jay Gunkelman, author of Neurofeedback and the Treatment of Developmental Trauma, Seaburn Fisher, and tech genius Santiago Brand. Boy, his arms are tired. He just flew in from New Delhi. Our goal is to provide information and promote options for better mental health. This is an all-star cast, and I'm more than happy to share their knowledge with you. My name is Pete, and today we have a very special guest, Anna Milani, CEO and brain trainer at Spark Fitness. But before we get to Anna, we got some Patreon love to dish out. We'd like to thank our Patreon business sponsors, as well as our show sponsor. Mary Tracy's Neuro Training Strategies offers a higher standard of EEG, QEG education to EEG clinicians, technicians, and neurofeedback practitioners with convenient online BCIA and QEG certified didactic courses. Okay, three things our listeners and viewers can do to help us spread the word of neurofeedback from Singapore to the States. Number one, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you like the video, which you will, please like and click the bell so it lets you know when our new podcasts come out. That little action will turn three people from watching this into 3,000. Imagine all these lovely people learning about neurofeedback. Number two, give us a review on whatever platform you listen to. 5 stars is appreciated, but we'll take 4.5 on Apple Podcasts. And number three, if you have the means, please support us on Patreon/NeuroNoodle. There are different levels in which you can support, whether you're a mom or dad or a clinician. There's even an option where you can have a whole hour of Q&A with our own Jay Gunkelman. Hey, the money that comes in, nobody's buying any Mercedes out there. We're just trying to pay to improve the quality of our content here. Okay, let's talk mental and physical fitness with Anna Milani. Anna, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm looking at
I don't know what is going on here. Sorry, hold on 1 second. I gotta
Santiago,
figure this out.
Santiago, I know you just came in from New Delhi, and I know you're a little bit tired.
There we are.
Hey, there we go.
Oh boy.
You made it.
I'm telling you, the strangest things are happening today.
Oh, Santiago. Santiago, how do you know Anna? You were very passionate about saying, hey, we got to get her on the show. Okay, there she is. But how do you guys know each other?
I met Anna, about a year ago, Anna, that we met, roughly.
That's right.
I met Anna through my associate, Sylvia Wetherill. Sylvia is my associate here in actually, Sylvia is now living in in Portugal, where she's from. But before she moved back to Portugal, she mentioned that she knew Anna through a mutual friend. And that she thought that it would be a good idea for us to meet. And she was right. When I went to Spark for the first time, I fell in love with the concept that Anna is working on. Because I love how she's combining cognitive training with fitness, which is something I've been always very interested in. And, you know, throughout the last 12 months, we've been talking and seeing how our skills and our interests intersect and how we can get to work together. So that's how we met. And, you know, the opportunity presented itself where we have a mutual friend from India who is in the fitness industry, and she very kindly invited us to Delhi to the Asia EdoFit Summit, where we just presented 48 hours ago.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So Santiago, you just got back in, and what is it, a 6-hour flight or something like that from Singapore to New Delhi? To
five and a half, yeah.
Five and a half, okay. Now, what went on at the event? Like, what did you guys went on there and you spoke? Like, what happened? I saw all these pictures of Santiago because, you know, Santiago doesn't like social media, but I saw some of the ones. You were in Agra. You saw the Taj. What else happened over there, Santiago?
Well, as I said, we have a mutual friend with Anna, and she invited us to this summit. And it's a fitness summit which happens every year, and it's the first time they're hosting it since COVID. And they held it for about 300 to 400 people who are mostly personal trainers in India. And they had it at this beautiful hotel near the airport. And, you know, Garima, who's her friend, mutual friend, was very interested in our work. And she thought that it would be interesting for the participants of the summit to hear a new concept, you know, combining what Anna is doing at Spark and then what I'm doing at MindLab here in Singapore. So Anna and I sat down, we talked about it, and we decided that would be a good idea. And they gave us 90 minutes. And for 90 minutes, we were just talking about how exercise impacts the brain. So Anna was showing some of the work that she does with her state-of-the-art technology. And I was showing some scans, some EEGs pre and post exercise. And you know, we're very surprised because being that is the very first time somebody's presenting something like that at the summit, we were thinking we were gonna have too many people attending. We ended up having, I don't know, 50, 60 people. I mean, the room was packed. And people stayed throughout the talk and seemed to enjoy what we did. And certainly Anna and I had a great time doing that.
Anna, I can't wait. All right, enough of Santiago. Anna, tell me about mixing, working out your physical body and your mental body. How long have you been doing that? Give us the background. How did you get into it? Tell us how you started your business. We want to hear it all.
Fantastic. I will tell you everything. So the first time I've been in this industry I started in movement, contemporary dance. Then I went into becoming a personal trainer. I did Pilates and I always tried to evolve. So I was getting quite bored with the fitness industry. It's all about bodies. It's all about how you look and stuff. And I was like, oh, there's got to be more than that. And I literally came across a slide from a course actually in the US that talked about and showed how different types of exercise impact the brains in different ways and different networks. And I was like, what? You kidding me? So that really opened my eyes and I just got so fascinated with the topic. So I went and did a lot of courses, brain-based coaching, you know, brain health trainer course, various neuroscience courses. And from there, I started thinking, okay, well, this type of training and technology has mainly been used on special populations. So sports people, athletes, of course, so in corporates, perhaps, pilots, neurosurgeons, but also for rehabilitation purposes, traumatic brain injuries, dementia, so on and so forth, Parkinson. But I thought, I think there's scope for it to be really brought into the fitness world, and make it try to make it at least mainstream. So democratize this type of training. So that's what I really wanted to do. I really wanted to create awareness and spread the word. And the more I was researching the training and the technologies, the more I was realizing it is really helpful for everyone, like from kids to adults, to seniors, to for prevention, for people with neurological conditions. And so I conceptualized the whole space and gym, which looks somewhat of a gym, but it also doesn't look like a gym. But yeah, so that's how we really came up. And we only opened last year. During the pandemic, not the best timing, but we've been able to do a lot of exploration. So the first hub, it's called Spark, the Brain and Fitness Hub. And that allowed me and my colleagues, and obviously as well with Santiago, to really explore a lot of different ideas, different training with different populations. And yeah, I mean, a big component of that is also gamification, which I think is very important to highlight, is stack-based, is science-based, but there is this layer of gamification. So yeah, I mean, I can certainly say from a training perspective, we've had a lot of fun with it, and I think there's going to be more and more to come.
New Year's Day, you're hungover, you feel fat, out of shape, and you're like, okay, I got to go to a gym. I got to get a trainer. That motivation lasts, I don't know, maybe if you're lucky, a month. And then you just bought the subscription for the year and you only use 1 month of it. That doesn't work. Okay. Tell me how it's different by using your product, Anna. How does a typical, like when a client comes in off of the street, how are you introducing your concept to them? How does it work?
In different ways. First, it really depends who you have in front of you, because when we get clients, we tend to get clients that have absolutely no idea what we're doing. So they come and they kind of give it a go and stuff. And so we kind of layer the what we want to tell them, right? The story that we want to tell them, or what kind of angle we want to go with. Or on the other hand, we get the real geeks that have heard about it and want to know everything about it, right? So there's kind of
on the outliers on the spectrum, right?
Yeah. So obviously with the more generalized view is like, yeah, you're working your brain and you're working your body. So you are working out like in a normal gym, but on top of that, you're getting extra benefits. You're getting to work out your brain. And as they do these different types of training and so on, they literally do a session and they'll say to you, oh, wow, I really feel my brain has had a workout because I've been working out. So that's, in a nutshell, in that sense. Whereas with the people that want to know more, they'll be very inquisitive and find out a bit more. But how does that motivate clients? So, of course, we try and help them from a behavioral perspective. So we want to encourage, you know, behavioral change, of course. And I think by working on the brain, that kind of happens somehow anyway. But the process of and the journey of the way we train clients is we give them a cognitive assessment, okay, an online digital assessment. With certain clients, we will also have Santiago do a brain scan, a brain map with them. And then from there, from the findings we have, we then create a specific protocol for them to help them with their goals. And after around 3 months, we'll then retest them again. So that's how we keep the clients on and motivated.
So they come in and they do a brain map. You do a 19 channel, Santiago. What do you do?
Yes, that is correct. We're doing 19 channels, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to share my screen here just to show you what we spoke about. So this is before I even moved to Singapore, and this was when I was living in Colombia. Now, when I was living in Colombia, I was thinking about doing something like very similar to what Anna is doing with Spark in Singapore right now. And I was researching the technology and everything because I've always been a big believer in combining exercise with physical exercise with neurofeedback. And very anecdotally, I have observed very powerful results in the people I've used it with when I have them come for neurofeedback and then run on the spot for 5 minutes and then go back to the neurofeedback, they perform much better. And that got me interesting to see what's happening in the brain. Now, on this PowerPoint I have on the left, it's the eyes open EEG of a 38-year-old female who came looking for my services for anxiety. And mainly what you can see is the beta bursts that are spread out to the front and the back. And, you know, normally when I see this beta burst, I normally see them in people with covert anxiety. On the outside, this type of client looks very calm and collected, but on the inside is where the anxiety takes place. So they're quite insecure and quite self-conscious. They just don't project it outwardly. And I said, well, I want to try something new with you. I want you to go on this elliptical machine for 45 minutes. I'm going to scan your brain after and see what happens. And that's what you get to the right. And you see the same time period 45 minutes later, and you can see there's a great reduction in the beta spindling. And she reported that her anxiety went down quite significantly. Now, it's not following formal research steps, the formal, you know, the scientific method per se, but it's a good first indication of what exercise does to the brain. And to me, one of the main components of exercise, and it's something Anna mentions a lot in her presentations, is BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a growth factor that is secreted by the hippocampus. And it's normally triggered by movement, mainly exercise. And BDNF has two main components to it. One is that it fosters neurogenesis. So it will foster the growth of the glia cells, hippocampal glia, which in turn fosters more volume and better functional connectivity in the brain. But more interestingly to me is that it's a cortisol booster. So it neutralizes the effects of cortisol. Now, cortisol is one of those hormones that will go into the brain, and due to its molecular size, will be able to permeate the blood-brain barrier, go into the hippocampus and start killing cells. And when we exercise and we secrete BDNF, we're neutralizing the negative effects of cortisol on the brain. So as you can see, this is just a small sample, but it's a very powerful picture. And I think a quite a strong statement of what exercise can do for you. Now, the way I see it is you have somebody come for neurofeedback, they do it for a few minutes, and then you have them do a few minutes of fitness, get the BDNF going. Well, it's gonna, you know, it's gonna enhance the function of the brain to the point that they're gonna benefit from both more in depth. And, you know, with Anna, we're thinking, well, how can we take this into the research field? So we're just trying to come up with ideas into how we can turn this into a case study or a case study series that we can later publish just to show. Now, I'm gonna fast forward, and towards the end, you'll see that what we did was to have somebody do of this. So I don't know if Anna, you want to talk about this, but basically what we're doing here is combining with Anna's technology Spark, but I want Anna to explain what these types of gadgets do.
Yeah, can you click on the video, Santiago, so they can see the...
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I'm doing here is basically I'm tracking 4 targets out of 8 targets in a 3D environment. So I'm wearing 3D glasses as well. You can't see it from the video there. But when the game starts, the target starts moving. I focus my gaze roughly in the center of the screen. I'm trying not to move up my eyes too much because I don't want to get distracted. So I'm tracking the targets with my peripheral vision as well. So after 8 seconds, roughly, the target stops moving and I have to identify whatever each ball will have. Will have a number on it. And I just call out the numbers to identify the balls that were moving initially. So as you can see, or you won't be able to see, the targets move faster when I get the answers correct. If I get the answer wrong, so I'm not able to identify those targets, the targets will slow down. And there are about 20 trials in each game, and the game is calibrated so that you would get about 50% of the targets correct. So it puts you in a position where you're constantly challenging yourself enough, but not too hard that you're always getting the targets wrong. So it brings you into that state where your brain is really working in all networks and regions. To be honest, we have done this with Santiago. We have looked at the brain working while doing NeuroTracker, and we have seen that it probably wasn't from this specific time, Santiago, but we did it a while ago. And I remember the brain really working out in every possible lobe and area. So it was quite an interesting finding.
Yeah. Santiago, what are we training here? And what are we training off of? Is there a database or something we're comparing? What are we trying to improve?
You know, first I want to say that what Ada was saying in terms of the brain scanning was absolutely right. And I don't have the slides here, but I remember we were recording one of Anna's trainers doing this, which is, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, Anna, but it's depth perception and peripheral vision.
Yes. So you're doing, there's a lot of benefits by doing this. You're definitely training that perception, that 3D environment is helping you engage again your 3D neurons and stuff. Definitely peripheral vision. Of course, attention, because you're having to focus on the task for quite a while. Inhibition, you're trying to avoid being distracted by things that are happening to you around your environment. In fact, the way that this type of training starts for a beginner is by sitting down. So in this case, I was sitting down. To be honest, I have been doing NeuroTracker for quite a while. So I'm already in the next phase of it, whereby I'm starting to include the cognitive motor training side of things. So the physical task. So the next level from a sitting down position would be a standing position. So I do my consolidation phase, sitting down, and then I progress to a standing stance, because that's already increasing dual tasks. Standing is harder than sitting down. As I progress, I can then make this way more transferable to whatever skills I'm trying to improve. So if I'm an athlete, I may be dribbling a basketball if I'm a basketball player. If I'm a soccer player and someone might be throwing a ball to me and I might pass it back. So you can make this type of training as specific to what you are trying to achieve. If you could also have noise trying to distract you as you're doing this type of training, because essentially you're trying to get benefits, but in a real type of environment, because when we are driving a car, there's a lot of distractions happening. So we need to be able to pay attention to tasks while there's things happening around our world, basically.
Now, when we recorded this speed, it was very interesting because we did it with one of Anna's trainer. And when we recorded EEG, I didn't have the helmet at the time. So I did full 19 channel cap with my amplifier. What we saw as she was doing the NeuroTracker was that we had a burst of theta at the FZ region, which is an event-related potential. So we got an ERP, which was not previously there as a consequence of the exercise. It was not OCD, rumination, inattention type theta that you would normally see in some perceptive population. She didn't have any of that activity at baseline. And then while she was doing that, we were able to get that recorded. We were getting the brain to be activated and engaged. And this particular region of the brain was producing this ERP, which is, it's task related. And to us, it means that the brain is oriented to the task and doing something specific. And I was able to differentiate it from somebody doing exercise and having the typical OCD theta presentation at CZ. With the exercise, we were able to have the person do 45 minutes of cardio, different exercises with the different equipment that Anna has in the gym. And then post, I think I have the slide here, post, you can see the reduction in theta amplitude and theta power at the FZ region, which means then we are, you know, reducing the hyperconnectivity, getting more blood flow to region of the brain and getting the brain to engage in a more favorable way.
So Santiago and Anna too, if you're a trainer I don't understand why more physical trainers aren't mental health trainers with neurofeedback, because you can address the procrastination where people are putting off working out, can't you, Santiago?
Absolutely. And I absolutely, you're 100% correct. And I think one of the reasons why that is because we're heavily permeated by social media. And today, Anne and I had these discussions before. And one of the main obstacles that we face is the fact that people want to do fitness to look good. They want to look like Instagram models look, whether it's male or female. And people get too caught up on looking good and getting followers, as opposed to taking care of their brain and their body for health-related purposes. Now, it is well known now that, you know, Alzheimer's and Parkinson and many other forms of neurodegeneration start years before the symptoms even show up. So the symptoms is just a byproduct of the disease finally triggering something to make it noticeable. But it is well known that for dementia and Parkinson and many other conditions, the plagues that attach to the brain start going there way, way before time. And it's also been shown that exercise, you know, fitness exercise and brain exercise can stave that off. It can not only, you know, it can not only slow it down, it can also prevent. And I think it's sad because there's still a lot of stigma that is that relates to mental health. So when people think of training the brain, they don't think health, they don't think performance. They think, well, I don't need it because I'm not broken, and I don't need it because I'm not crazy. And it's an uphill battle that we continue to face to this day. And I mean, I think honestly, the best thing you can do is just to promote and raise awareness. As I was explaining that before.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what we, if I can, maybe in their early 40s even, and they ask me, well, but you know, I'm still so young, I don't really need this type of training yet. So in their mind, they don't feel like they need it. But exactly that, just because symptoms show up like decades later, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't start well early. That's one thing. The other thing I wanted to add, and on definitely a big reason why I'm so excited of working with Santiago as well, is because what we're trying to do at the gym especially is to make the intangible tangible. Okay, so a lot of people that would come to go to a regular gym, they want a six pack, they want the biceps, and they train a few weeks and yes, they start seeing the blood flow in there and there's a pump and hey, I've got some biceps now going on. But when they train the brain, you can't see the change sizes in the brain. Of course, it takes a long time as well for that to happen. It doesn't happen overnight, right? And so people, they feel like after a workout, they'll feel like, wow, I feel my brain is awake and stuff. But at times it may not be enough of a motivation. But if they see it tangibly on a scan with waves and so on, then that's really, really powerful. And that's the purpose of what we are trying to do, at least on my side for sure, is to really show that to people and go, look, believe me or not, is here for you to see. So
somebody comes in the interview with Anna and they give their goals and their expectations of what they want at the end of this time period that they work out. When you do the 19 channel, I don't know what you call it. I don't know what the protocol is that you train for, but what would you see if somebody is more prone to putting off a workout or procrastinating? What would you see on that brain map?
Normally, you tend to see slowing in the prefrontal cortex and the sensory motor region. It's normally under activation of the prefrontal cortex and the sensory motor regions that it's a common finding in people who tend to procrastinate. Their executive functions are not quite consolidated, and the motivation element is not there either. You know, these are functions that partly take place in the frontal cortex. Of course, there's other brain regions involved, but normally I tend to see that. You know, I tend to see the typical theta-beta ratio, or more theta power than beta power at CZ. F3 and F4, F7, F8 tend to be regions that are highly involved with that. And when I describe those for the people out there who don't understand, it's just specific regions in the frontal cortex, which are involved with your decision making and your motivation. And that means that if you have slow brain waves, for the most part, not in its entirety, for the most part, you have reduced blood flow to that region of the brain. And if you have a reduction in blood flow to that region of the brain, your brain's pretty much going to get lazy. And if your brain gets lazy, you're going to get lazy. So you're not going to see the point in exercising because it's hard. And that has to do a lot with the level of neuroinflammation of persons it's facing. Sometimes exercise can be counterproductive if you have a high degree of inflammation going on. If you have a client who is exercising, starts exercising, but they feel worse after they do it, not better, then you have a client with a high degree of neuroinflammation. You have to dampen the neuroinflammation and take the exercise progressively. I think, and probably Anna can attest to this, is that exercise prescription is key. First of all, if you're going to exercise, you need to exercise and do an exercise that you enjoy. If you don't like running, then you shouldn't be running. If you don't like swimming, then you should not be swimming. If you don't like dancing, then why are you dancing? You should do something that you enjoy doing, because then and only then you're going to get the motivation to do it. Now, because as you said, Pete, we have lots of parents and counselors and teachers listening to us. I always tell people this. The adults that we see in our practices today are the kids that were not treated early enough. If we started working with children and doing more exercise and more brain training with a larger amount of children, we would not see the problems that we see today in the adults. So childhood is the best time to start, because it's when your brain is more malleable, it's when it's more plastic, it's when it's more flexible, and it can adapt more easily. And, you know, it's been shown that when you start doing something earlier, you're more likely to stick with it throughout your life. Now, that doesn't mean that as an adult, in your midlife or in your later years, you cannot benefit from this. Of course you can, but it needs to be prescribed in a way that you're gonna be benefit from it. Because you, with neurofeedback, you're adding to what the exercise is doing, and then exercise is reinforcing what the neurofeedback can do.
Yeah, people coming in that aren't motivated, so you have to somehow help them get motivated. Neurofeedback isn't a magic wand; it's training and it's work to do. People are more willing to take a pill than they are to work out. Do you address diet and sleep with them? Because they can do, it's like an ADHD kid that you're trying to train with neurofeedback, but they're eating Snickers every hour, you know, candy bars, right? So I just wonder how you address that with your potential clients, diet and sleep.
Sure. So yes, so when we onboard clients, one, we take them through a cognitive test, which is not just a cognitive test, really. It also looks at their behavior. It asks a few questions about behavior and lifestyle, and also about their metabolic condition. We'd also ask them some general questions, like you said, on sleep, so on and so forth. And based on that, obviously, it makes us aware as coaches on where some of the issues may be, right? Now, what I'm trying to implement more with my end is, one, we have obviously referral partners, so we can't be experts in all. So if we come across specific conditions and stuff, we would then obviously refer to a sleep specialist or a nutritionist. In fact, we do work with a very, very good nutritionist as well. So that's that. From a behavioral coaching perspective, I'm doing the coaching myself, and I'm looking at implementing ways and strategies of how I can implement that on a business level. And we have started implementing digital solutions because of some of the corporate clients we work with, which have expressed an interest in us developing certain solutions and stuff. And even on that level, we are exploring including some coaching component into this, because it obviously plays a key role in behavioral change and in how people make exercise a habit. I mean, it can become because you're doing it constantly, and so therefore it becomes a habit, but well helps, of course, during neurofeedback with Santiago, and of course, you know, trying to really change, make the decision yourself about changing your habits and behavior. So I think it's a very mixed and combined effort.
So what do you think the future looks like? You think we're going to have gyms? You think it's not going to be called a gym anymore? It'll be a holistic betterment center where, I mean, shouldn't it start with your DNA? Know what your DNA is, so see what you're prone to, get your, then get your 19-channel scan. Then you have a consultant like you to look at it. I mean, you have DNA counselors now, right? And then you look at it and you map, then you have a nutritionist in the same place and a sleep specialist in the same place. And, you know, it's a combined, I don't think people get it. I mean, I still don't. It's a combination of things. There is no right answer, right answer for one specific person. It depends, right? Because everybody is different. You think fingerprints are unique? Try to deal with a gazillion brain cells, okay? Right?
Absolutely.
So you need a Sherpa to guide you through all these things. And I think that's what the, what does the future look like to you, Anna? I mean, you're just starting, Santiago, you're getting in there.
And then I see people all the time who are more and more interested in longevity and biohacking and lifestyle. More and more people, thankfully, are understanding that it's the whole concept. It's nutrition plus sleep plus your stress management plus your brain plus your body. It's not, you know, it's not one, either of those components. It's everything. My hope would be that it becomes more affordable and attainable to more people, because right now it seems to be for the well-off and the wealthier. And that makes it a little unfair. But of course, as the technology gets better and more manageable, more easily accessible, I think so will be the financial element. I think more people will be able to access this at an affordable fair price. I don't think it should be something for only those who are financially better off. I think it's something that everybody, you know, the rich, the poor, the middle class need to have access to, because this is something that ends affecting, you know, health costs. It's up costing you and I in tax dollars. And I think that if we can cut on that, we're just going to be doing a great service. I think Anne and I don't know how you feel about it, Anna, but I feel that we planted a seed in India, and I think we got quite some people interested. Even if out of the 50 people who were in that room with us, one person got interested, I think we did a great job, because they're going to become multipliers as well. And that's our hope. When Anna and I talk somewhere together, that's the hope we have, that people can see that this can be integrated, that you don't have to start with hundreds of thousands of dollars in investment, and you don't have to have a gazillion titles and a gazillion, you know, initials after your name to be able to do this. You need to be educated enough and motivated enough to get something like this going. And I think that this is going to be, I would say, the next 20 years, we're going to see more sparks around and more people training their brain and their body all together and looking at their DNA, as you're saying, and look at their nutrition. And I think in 20 years, we're going to have a much more profound understanding of nutrition and the glia cells and DNA. And it's only going to get better from here.
You know, I think 20 years, yes, if we wait for the governments to take action to make insurance pay for this stuff. But I think, wouldn't corporations want to have this at their company as part of their onboarding and training process? Because, I mean, if you get your brain prepared to take on the company training, I think, and they're in physical shape, good shape, you would have a more productive employee, and the output of the person that you have working for you should go up. So companies should be doing this. They should have a spark inside the building of the company. I think that'll happen before the governments kick in, Santiago. I don't know. But you're in Singapore, yeah. I'm in the States.
Oh, you nailed it. In fact, one of the first thing I thought about doing is eventually having sparked boxes, or however they will be called, in corporate offices, because they are First off, corporates are quite attracted already to the concept as soon as they hear the brain. Of course, they're thinking productivity. They link it to mental health. So they wanna show they are looking after their employees and stuff. So there's definitely an immediate interest is obviously in what milestones are they ready to invest in this, right? Is it initially through just a webinar? Is it through an event? Is it through a series of classes? Is it then ultimately investing in a full-on facility that will help their employees on a regular basis? So, but again, I think it's really just a matter of time and it will happen.
We just need two sales offices, one using Sparked, one not using Sparked, and look at the production in 6 months. And there you go. There's your test.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Blind? I don't know what it's called because none of the degrees are here, which is good. But I think that's all you need is, hey, what do you say, Santiago? We're just regular techs.
Yeah, glorified techs.
Glorified techs, yeah. Well, that's good. We can talk. But, I mean, that's talking about corporations, but the schools, right? The counselors, right? The future is bright, and I think corporations, then schools, private schools, you know, you talk about for the elite, the special needs kids and whatnot. I think there's opportunity there. So no, all the personal trainers out there, learn neurofeedback, become a tech, open up, learn to read brain scans, learn to read EEGs. I mean, shoot, you make a couple $100 an hour if you're good at it, can't you?
Absolutely.
Santiago,
it's not too bad.
Santiago, you have to come up with a training course for personal trainers, actually, in how to read scans. You've just given a great idea, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm here for, to expand the field, make the pie greater. Anna Milani, thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking about Spark Fitness.
Thank you, Pete. It's been great. Hoping to be back soon with more findings at Santiago.
Absolutely. Hey, what's the best way for people in Singapore to find out more about your business?
Sure. So we have a website, www.sparkfitness.com. Or if you're a social media person, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Spark Fitness. We also are just launching a digital platform called Spark Plus, www.sparkplus.com. And you can also find that on Instagram.
And then Santiago, how about a little love for you?
I need
a brain map in Singapore. Where do I go?
That's right. You got to come see me. It's at themind-lab.com. And Instagram is themindlab.sg or my personal Instagram, neurosantiago. Either of those three ways would work.
I would definitely follow Santiago. His posts are very entertaining. We thank you all for listening to NeuroNoodles, Neurofeedback, and Neuropsychology Podcast. Hey, we'd like to thank our Patreon business supporters. Mary Tracy's Neuro Training Strategies offers a higher standard of EEG, QEG education to EEG clinicians, technicians, and neurofeedback practitioners with convenient online BCIA and QEG certified didactic courses. Register now at EEGstrategies.com. Okay, you want to help out neurofeedback, guys? Three things you can do. Number one, subscribe to your YouTube channel. And I know you like this video, so hit the like button and click on that little bell so you can be notified when our new podcasts come out. That little action takes three people from learning about neurofeedback to 3,000. Number two, give us a review on whatever platform that you use, like Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. We'll take 4.5. It is so appreciated. And if you have the means, please support us on Patreon/NeuroNoodle. There are different levels in where you can support us, whether you're a mom or dad or clinician. There's even an option where you can do your own Q&A with Jay Gunkelman. Hey, all the money that comes in, don't worry, I'm not buying a Mercedes yet, but I am able to pay for all the content upgrades that you're seeing as the show progresses. We thank you all for listening.